Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Friends, it's my joy today to have an opportunity to share a little bit of God's Word with you. So I'm going to invite you to join me in God's Word. If you have your Bibles with you, which we do encourage you to do, to bring those Bibles with you to worship, I would invite you to find those now. Maybe you have your phone and an app on the phone. You can find that app and find our passage there. If you need a hard copy of God's Word, would like that, we have a couple over on the Welcome Center there. Feel free to grab one of those as well. I would love everyone to be in God's Word together with me today as we read this passage, as we study it together. And the passage we're looking at, we'll put up here on the screen, is Matthew chapter 2. So we're going to be looking in the New Testament. First book of the New Testament is the book of Matthew, second chapter, and we'll be starting in verse 1. So Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Also want to say thank you, Ben and Tyler, for reading our Advent reading. As you see, we're in the third week of Advent. And Advent is a season of anticipation, a season of expectation, a season in which we're looking for and we're longing for Jesus to come. The gift of God for us is Jesus. And in the midst of all the gifts of the season, amidst all the gifts that are here on the stage, we are claiming in this Advent season that Jesus is the gift for the world. Jesus is the gift for you and for me. And we're looking at these different scripture passages, and we're finding these different people, and we're finding these different scenarios, and what we're finding is that in each one of them, Jesus is the gift to them. And as we see ourselves in them, we find that Jesus is then the gift for us. And so we looked a couple of weeks ago at Zechariah and Elizabeth, and we named that Jesus is the gift for the brokenhearted. And some of us find ourselves there and have found ourselves there. Last week we talked about Mary and Joseph, and we talked about the plans that they had. They had wedding plans, they had relationship plans, they had plans for how their life was going to happen, and then all those plans blew up as Mary's found to be with child, and Joseph has a wife-to-be that's pregnant, and we talked about how plans that we have sometimes come crashing down as well, don't we? But Jesus is also the gift for the planners. Now this week we have this fascinating passage around the Magi. And I'm so excited to study this with you for a few moments this morning. So let's pray together, and then we're going to read and study God's Word. Would you please join me in prayer? God, it is so good, again, to gather together and worship, and it's so good to gather around your Word. And we are grateful, God, that as we open your Word and read it, that the Holy Spirit has the power to open our hearts and our minds to receive it. And that is what we pray for this morning. So whoever we are this morning, whatever life has been like this past week, whatever we got going on yet today, we pray, Holy Spirit, would you intervene right now and allow us to be attentive to the Word, that your words would flow into us. And then by your power, Holy Spirit, that you would empower us to live according to its truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture passage is Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Follow along with me as we read these words from the book that we love. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may too go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way.
and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route. Amen. It really all comes down to one simple question. The story of the Magi is probably one of the more complicated pieces of the Christmas story. Because the story of the Magi is wrought full of presumptions that have become tradition, that have become facts, and it leads then to a historically inaccurate nativity scene. I don't want to burst too many bubbles here this morning, but I am going to name that the Magi weren't at the manger. It's true. And you have this interesting story about these Magi who carry around with them a shroud of mystery. Who exactly are they? And what exactly do they do? And what exactly is their religious affiliation? And so you have all of this around the Magi. And then you add on to it the great joke about the Magi. You maybe have heard this joke before. I like this one, I think. Traditionally, the Magi are called wise men. But in my Bible here, they're referred to as Magi. And in fact, every single pronoun that is used around the Magi is we or they. There's no real clear, exact encounter that they were actually men. And so the joke is, you know, they probably were wise women because they stopped and asked for directions. I like that joke. Do you like it? I've also seen the shirt or the picture on the wall, you know, that wise men still seek him. That. So you have all of these things around the Magi, and then you add on top of that, you have a paranoid false king whose emotions can unsettle an entire city. And then you have the mysteries and the confusion around a star, and Old Testament predictions, and Old Testament prophecies, and then you add to that a secret clandestine meeting that takes place, and then you have a lie that is told, and then you have priceless gifts that are offered, and then a warning in a dream, and then you have they take the scenic route on the way home, and then you have all of this stuff, and all of this you add up all together, and it becomes this complicated and loaded passage that could take us in a thousand different directions this morning. But it really just comes down to one simple question. Where is he? Verse 2. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Where is he? The Magi are a lot of things. They are astrologers. They're students of the stars. In their homeland, traditionally believed to be Parthia, which is, think Babylon, or even more for us today, think present-day Iraq. That's kind of where we generally believe they're from. In Parthia, they were, tradition, again, says that they were possibly even a tribe of priests, like the Levites in Israel, that they were holy and wise individuals who offered sacrifices. Tradition also says that they were students, and they were studiers and knowledgeable and skilled in things like medicine and philosophy and natural sciences. We maybe have heard that they were magicians or fortune tellers or even sorcerers, and that's just not true. That is a later development of the word magus, which is the word magi in the Greek. That's a later thing. So that's not true about them. But as best we can understand about the magi is that they were good and holy men who sought for truth. In other words, they are seekers. And that makes sense, so much sense, because they speak only one time in this entire passage, and what they begin with is a question. Where is he? The Magi have been playing a 1,000-mile game of hide-and-seek. And they want, all they want to know is, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? The Magi, they are seekers of Jesus. Seekers. Such an interesting term, right? It's kind of this non-Christian Christian term. And by that I mean that you will not find the word seeker in a theological dictionary. And I don't believe, I looked, but I don't think that the word seeker even shows up in my NIV. And yet the word seeker is used a ton in the church. Particularly so 15, 20, 30, even more years ago. It was the topic. It was the hotbed of conversation in the church. When we had the rise of the mega church, you had the Willow Creeks and you had the Saddlebacks and others, and all of a sudden we started talking about seeker, and all of a sudden the phrase that was on everyone's tongue was seeker sensitive. Maybe some of you heard that before. Where there's seeker-sensitive worship, and there's seeker-sensitive youth ministry, and there's seeker-sensitive church. I even took a class several years ago now in seminary called Seeker-Sensitive Preaching. Seeker. Westview was planted at the height of this seeker-sensitive movement, and that mindset was influential for a long, long time. Now, what's a seeker? A seeker, we could define a seeker in a lots of different ways, but bottom line, a seeker is this generic term to describe someone not currently connected to Christ and or the church and is seeking purpose or wholeness or fulfillment in life. And for a long time, I think most of the time perhaps we could even say, is that a seeker was seen by the church as someone out there. As someone out there, outside of the church, that we want to bring into the church. And I want to challenge that just a little bit this morning, because here's the thing. I wonder if we can reverse the entire premise of who is included in the term seeker, because aren't we all seekers? Aren't we all, like the Magi, we're seeking truth? Aren't we all inherently inclined to ask that question, where is he? Are we all seekers of Jesus? That we too ask that question, where is he? Where is he when the diagnosis is delivered or when the pink slip comes? Where is he when we lose that significant someone or when we get cut from the team? We ask the question, where is he when we feel spiritually dry or when we're in a faith rut? We say, where is he when we are praying and seeking to make important decisions on behalf of those we love? We say, where is he when we're pursuing big dreams for our lives? Don't we ask the question, where is he when we are confused and when we're hurt, when we feel lost and uncertain, when we're angry and worn down? We ask the question, where is he in all of these scenarios, in all these situations and more? I mean, don't those words form off of our lips? Don't they leap off our heart? We say, where is he? The Magi are a lot of things. And this passage is full of twists and turns that add such great flavor to the Christmas story, but it can kind of complicate how we understand all the things. But at the heart of this, friends, at the heart is that the Magi, they represent a group of people that resonate with their longing and their desires. Really, the Magi represent us all, seekers. That each one of us, at one time or another, asking a question, sometimes with voiced words, sometimes on the silence of our hearts, we want to know, where is he? Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Where is Jesus? Friends, on this third Sunday of Advent, the good news for you and me, fellow seekers,
is that Jesus is the gift for the seekers. For those of us who seek Him, for those of us who ask, where is He? Jesus is the gift for those who seek truth. John's Gospel says, He is the fullness of grace and truth. Jesus is the gift for those who seek His presence. In those moments, where is He? Jesus promises us at the end of Matthew's Gospel, He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is the gift for those who seek direction in life. John's Gospel says that He is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the gift for those who seek to know God. Colossians says that He is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the gift for those who seek peace. Colossians also says that His peace can rule in our hearts. Colossians 3:15. Jesus is the gift for those who seek purpose. What am I supposed to do with my life? Ephesians 2 says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Jesus is the gift for those who seek forgiveness. Romans 8 starts out by saying, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is the gift for those who seek life. Romans 6 says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so much more, Jesus is the gift for those who seek. Jesus is the gift for the seekers, for the Magi, for you and for me, and for all who seek, and in all the ways we seek. And here's the icing on the cake from this passage. That when we find Him, right, we seek, and when we find Him, or probably more theologically correct, when we seek Him and we are aware that He already found us, He brings overwhelming and unprecedented and unbelievable joy. I don't know how you read this passage. It's a fascinating passage, but I know when I read it and I start getting into the passage, I start to hold my breath. Because things start to escalate. Things start to go on. Things start to happen. And I find the Magi, they come and they ask the question. And then everybody's worked up. And Herod's upset. And the whole city's upset. And then he consults with the people's priest. You know that? Not his, but the people's priest. And they're studying the scriptures. And the prophecy is read. And then there's this secret meeting. And you know Herod, he's not a good guy. And he really wants to go worship Jesus. No. We know better than that. And so you're worked up a little bit because he's told the Magi to go and tell him where he's at. And so all this is happening. And then there's finally that moment where I feel like I can exhale. And it's when the star appears again. The star is another complicating piece of this passage because I know there's a logical explanation for this, but in my mind I'm like, okay, these Magi are from the east. They see a star in the east, a star that's rising in the east, and then they go west. Does not make sense in my brain. But I know there's a logical reason for that. Some people think the star was a comet. Some people think the star was Jupiter. Some people think it was something else altogether. But you know what? It really doesn't matter, because what does matter is that when the star appears in verse 9, it leads us to verse 10. The star becomes a spotlight. The star discloses the location where the Magi can end their 1,000-mile game of hide and seek. Because the Magi see the star, they find the spot, they now know where Jesus is. And what happens? Overjoyed. And I'm sorry, I have a problem with the word overjoyed, because that word does not fully describe what is happening here. In the literal Greek, it says it this way: they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Isn't that good? They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The word exceeds is, you know, far surpasses what would be the norm. And exceedingly, it's growing upon growing upon growing upon growing. They rejoice with exceedingly great joy. My friends, that is the gift of Jesus for you and me today. Joy for the seekers. Joy for us who, at one time or another, or maybe many times, we ask that question for all sorts of different ways. We ask, where is He? Jesus, when we seek Him and when we find Him, He brings joy. Overwhelming joy, exceedingly great joy. And the good news is that in this Advent season, we declare, we look and we long for, and we declare that He is coming. He's coming here to be with us. He's coming to be right alongside of us. He's coming to give us life and hope and peace. And there's no mysterious star that is needed. He is Emmanuel, God coming to walk alongside of us in our every day, in our every way, to bring us great joy. And in this Advent season, friends, may we seek Him. May we seek Him. Maybe seek Him out in every situation and in every way. And may we find Him. And may we be filled with a rejoicing of exceedingly great joy, because Jesus is the gift for the seekers. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. God, we love Your promise, where it says that we will seek You and we will find You when we seek You with all our heart. As seekers of Jesus alongside the Magi in this Advent season, what joy that promise gives to us. And really, God, thank You that You first found us. That You found us in need when we know our hearts and souls were stained with sin. Thank You that You loved us first with an unconditional love that sent Jesus for us. And God, thank You for the joy that is ours, that in Jesus we find all that our hearts are searching for. God, we thank You also for the gift that it is to be in prayer with You. God, I just want to just name this morning, it's been a lot this week, and there's been much that has led us to our knees. There's been important decisions that have been made and shared, with many more important decisions to come. There's been appointments and consults and meetings and more that have filled all of our calendars and have weighed heavy on our hearts. There's been individual needs that have been brought before us again. We continue to lift them to You. We heard earlier again from Lucinda. We pray and lift up our prayers for Blaze and for his family. Would You give a clear picture forward for treatment and restoration of full health? God, we ask for Your comfort to be with David and Pam and their family following the loss of Pam's dad. We pray for the upcoming surgery that Andrea will be having on her foot. Bring healing, bring freedom from pain. And God, too, we are rejoicing with great joy today for Your protection over John Truex and for sparing his life. There are painful injuries for sure that are going to take time to heal, but there is time for healing. And we join him and his family in naming that for this we are grateful. God, in this holiday season and in all of its busyness and bustle, we pray for rest and we pray for focus. We pray that we can delight in the small things that comprise each day, and we also pray that we can delight in the large things that we've deemed so important. With travels and programs and gatherings and time with family, we pray that in the midst of all the things, we can continue to focus on the gift of this season, and that is Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.